chapter 2. We're preaching through the epistle of 2 Peter. We finished 1 Peter. Well, we'll finish 1 Peter 5, verses 13 and 14 on Wednesday. We preached through chapter 1. I'm just going to do a short review of the last few verses. But in chapter 2, Peter begins in earnest to describe for us false prophets. Let's open with a word of prayer. Lord, we ask for your blessings. Oh God, we come to have your word opened unto us. Lord, I don't have what it takes unless your spirit is here among us. And so, Father, I pray that the preaching would be according to thy word and to thy pleasing. Father, Paul said, we don't preach to please men, but to please God. And so, Father, I pray that it would be so this day, and that you would receive all the honor and the glory. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the greatest dangers that we are faced with in our day as Christians is heresy being introduced into the church in false teaching by false prophets. There were false prophets in the beginning of time. They started then, and they're still here in 2019. False prophets are preachers who would subvert and undermine your faith in Christ. They would corrupt your mind from the truth of the gospel of Christ. You'll know a false prophet when they divert your attention from Christ to something else. And I hope to expose some of that as we begin chapter 2. In chapter 1, Peter exposes genuine faith in Christ, what it looks like, the characteristics of genuine faith in Christ in the believer, but also the danger to us as believers in not being diligent and devoted to God in our Christian lives, in not holding fast the form of sound words. We're all susceptible to being deceived by the subtlety of the devil. It happened in the garden of God. 2 Peter, turn to chapter 1 and verse 8. I'll just read what Peter says, and we're not going to go through all of chapter 1, just the last few verses. But in 2 Peter 1 and verse 8, if you back up there, he says, and Peter has just been teaching us that God in his divine power has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. And he tells us to add to the knowledge which we have, to add virtue and knowledge and temperance and godliness and brotherly kindness. And then in verse 8 he says, for these things be in you and abound, that means they're growing, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. A Christian should not be barren and unfruitful. If we are believers in Christ, born again by the Spirit of God, we are going to bear fruit. We're not going to be barren or empty. But he says in verse 9, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, and this is what we're called to do, give diligence, make every effort to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. And so there is a danger of falling by the subtleties and the destructive doctrines of heresies that false prophets bring into the church. And we need to be very careful. A false prophet's doctrine and practice is designed to undermine and subvert your faith. Don't forget that. But also to draw away disciples after them. They want people to follow them as men, not Christ. And the preacher is always to point people to Christ and not to themselves. This is a warning in Acts chapter 20. Turn back there. Acts 20 and 27. This is a precursor to what we'll see in 2 Peter 2. But in Acts chapter 20, Paul warned the Ephesian elders when he was departing and going to Rome. He warned them that after he departed, grievous wolves would enter in among them. Listen, that's why when somebody wants to join themselves to our assembly, there's a short time or several months in which they should come and know what we believe. And we as a flock should know who they are and what they believe. To make sure, I mean, the scriptures teach us to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But we're to know whether somebody's going to come in and as we'll see in our text, secretly introduce false doctrines. So look at 20 and 27. Paul says, "For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you." They will come in and they will worship with us. And it says, they'll come in not sparing the flock. "Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them." And so that's a danger to the New Testament church. And we need, listen, that's why it's so important for every one of you to know what you believe from the Word of God for yourself. Don't depend solely on the preacher. You need to study those things which you've heard, whether those things be so. You need to be like the Bereans. So first we'll look briefly at genuine faith in Christ, and then identifying false prophets by their false teaching and denial of Christ as Lord. Listen, false prophets preach from the Word of God just like I do. They carry Bibles and they stand up in pulpits just like this. But they misrepresent the scriptures and twist the truth of God's word and secretly introduce, Peter writes, damnable heresies into the church. Now, let me just make a distinction. There is no preacher that you will go and hear who is infallible and perfect. There are going to be some small nuances in certain things we believe about, say, like eschatology. There are three different thoughts on how Christ is going to return. There are good men that believe three different views. I have a view. I know preachers that have a different view, but that's not a heresy. That's how they understand the scriptures. A heresy is something that undermines your faith in Christ and turns you away from one of the foundational doctrines of the Word of God. It's like salvation by works. That's a heresy. We're saved by faith alone in the finished work of Christ. And I'll go over a few other heresies that the church has been infected with over the years. But a false prophet is going to wrest, W-R-E-S-T, twist, distort the truth to their own destruction and to the destruction of the souls of those that sit under them. And we'll see, not today, but later on in Peter, he says, "And many shall follow their pernicious ways, of whom the truth is evil spoken of." And so listen, you need to know what you believe. You need to come with your Bible. You need to come attentively, and you need to listen to the Word of God. And you need to ask yourself, is this true? You need to go home and study like the Bereans did. And it says they studied what the apostles preached, whether those things were so or not. That's why I always appreciate someone who comes and asks me a question. In fact, last week, Brother Gary said, because I mentioned the Pool of Siloam, there was one, but the reference that I made about the man that was laying there for 38 years, he was not at the Pool of Siloam. I said that. He was at the Pool of Bethesda. So that was a mistake. He was right to say that. I like that. I want that because I don't want to mislead. Now, that's not a gross error or a heresy. That's dementia in the mind. But everybody knew what I was talking about. But But nonetheless, we want to be right. But listen, false prophets exploit and deceive souls. They exploit and deceive the souls who stood under them. And instead of pointing them to true faith in Christ, they point them away from Christ. And as we just read, they draw away disciples after them. So again, you need to know and be well grounded in what you believe about the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, the church has been plagued with damnable heresies since it began. And false teachers will continue to be dispatched by the devil to undermine and do his worst to ruin the souls of those who sit in local New Testament churches. He'll try and do it here. The Bible says of Christ, he says, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. But they'll try. And they're going to bring their worst. There are preachers out there on the TV and even in churches that want to suck you in and they want you to believe damnable heresies and they draw you away from Christ. So be very wary. 1 Corinthians 11:18, and I'm going to get to the text here in a minute. 1 Corinthians 11:18, look at it. We need to expect it because it's written in the Word of God. First Corinthians 11:18. Paul said to the Corinthians, this is before he was teaching them and really rebuking them about the Lord's Supper. He says, for first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must also be heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. So heresies will do one of two things. They reveal who the heretics are. And Timothy says a heretic after the first and second admonition reject. In other words, reject their doctrine and reject them from teaching and preaching. So the first thing that heresies do is reveal who the false prophet is. The second thing they do, as per this passage, is they reveal who the true ones are, the ones who hold fast to the form of sound words. Someone who brings heresy or false doctrine into the church, your little spiritual antennas should go up. If you hear something that doesn't sound right. And remember, I'm not talking about a small nuance, a small difference in your eschatology, or what you believe about Romans 7, or some other passage that is maybe difficult to understand, but it's what you believe about the doctrine of salvation and how a man or a woman is justified by faith in Christ. It's that is mainly what I'm talking about. The true preacher and the false preacher are empowered by two different spirits. The true preacher is empowered by the Spirit of God. The false preacher, by the spirit of the devil. Two different fathers here. Those that are lost and false preachers, their father is the devil. The true preachers, ministers of God, their father is God. And they will represent him to be so. Now back to 2 Peter 1 and verse 16. We'll start there. 2 Peter 1:16. Peter says, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables, myths, legends, when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he says, we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And this voice, which came from heaven, we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. We have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Means as they were carried along by the Holy Ghost. Now here's the but. Chapter 2. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you. They're going to be among us, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words, dishonest words, make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. And so, brethren, when we come together to hear the word of God, to preach the word of God, we are not following cunningly devised fables. These are not myths. We have not followed hearsay. We follow the true witness and what the apostles saw with their eyes and heard with their ears, Peter says here. Peter says we are firsthand witnesses of his transfiguration and of all of his miracles. We've heard his word. We've seen the feeding of the 5,000. We got a firsthand glimpse of his glory. And we heard the voice of God come from the heavens that said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Eyewitnesses of his majesty and of his glory, and we heard the Father's voice. So Peter here is making known or revealing to us, as he says here, the power and coming of the Lord Jesus Christ in his epistle. The word power there means dunamis. It's the word that's we get our word dynamite from. It's the power. It's the same word used in Romans chapter 1, where the Bible says the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. The word coming there is the word parousia. It means the second coming of our Lord. So Peter is saying here that we didn't follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord. And you might say Peter is making known unto us the powerful coming of our Lord, because that's what it'll be. But listen, know that in Peter's day, one of the heresies was Jesus is not coming back. Because there were many in his day, as there are today, that deny his return. In fact, look at right there in chapter 3 and verse 3, same book, 2 Peter 3:3. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers. Scoffers walking after their own lusts and saying, "Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation." They scoff at the Lord's coming. I heard a man personally do that one day, several years ago. He says, "That thing ain't never going to happen. It'll happen when Jesus Christ returns." Scoffing that the Lord is not going to return. That's one of the heresies that's out there. Be wary of it. Listen, all of the Old Testament prophecies were sure when they were written, when they were given. But brethren, now we have a more sure word of prophecy, because all things have been fulfilled now from the Old Testament. Not all things, but most of what was written in the Old Testament has been fulfilled in Christ. What we have now is solid truth in the Word of God. In 2 Peter 1, you could see there that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. So even though there was solid truth preached to the people of God in the days of old from the true prophets of God, there were also false teachers among the people, leading the people away from true worship of God. Listen, you need to know if you're being led away from Christ or led toward Christ. Now, chapter 2 and verse 1. Now, we start with that. But there were false teachers among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you. The wicked one has been lying to the souls of men and women since the beginning of time. It all began when he dispatched himself in the serpent to the Garden of Eden and deceived the woman by subtlety, convincing her that God was lying to both she and her husband. And all the time, the truth was, he was lying to the woman. God did not tell you the truth were the words of Satan. When he said, yea, hath God said? Anytime a preacher leads you to question the word of God, he's a liar and a false prophet. The serpent said, ye shall not surely die. If you disobey and eat the fruit that he forbade you to eat, you won't die. God's afraid that you'll be like him and you'll be powerful like him. You'll be as gods, knowing good and evil. That's what he told the woman. We know what happened after that. She took of the fruit. She ate the fruit that God told her not to eat of, and she gave it to her husband, who also ate of the fruit. It was an act of rebellion against God by Adam. He was given the command. The woman was deceived, but Adam knew the command of God and chose to disobey God. I often think what Adam should have done is grabbed that fruit and grabbed his wife by the arm and ran to God in repentance right there. He should have said, no! But he didn't. He took it. And in out and out rebellion, he ate it. And that rebellion has been transmitted through the loins of Adam to every one of us. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And along with our sin came false prophets, men who would stand up, the devil's emissaries, the devil's preachers, the devil's agents, to turn as many away from Christ as they can. And so that's what hell is belching out of it, is lies and deceit to take the souls of men and women, boys and girls, to hell. And so be wary, brethren. In fact, God pronounced a curse upon the serpent in that time. But he also put enmity between Satan's seed and the seed of the woman. He said the promised seed of the woman, and that's the first prophecy of Christ, the promised seed of the woman will bruise thy head, Satan, and thou, Satan, shall bruise his heel. And so Satan will be crushed. He brought deceit and sin into the garden, deceived the woman, presented sin to the man, and now the whole human race has been plunged into sin. From that time, Satan has not ceased to send false prophets into the world, many of whom stand in pulpits like this one every Sunday. One of the greatest dangers to God's people today, I'll say it again, is false teachers of the truth of God's word. Look at 2 Corinthians 11. This says it. That's why you need to know. I'll say it now. I'll say it again. You need to know what you believe from God's word. You need to know that you're not being led astray. You need to know if I'm telling you the truth or not. Don't just trust me because you like me, or don't just trust me because I have a Bible. You need to trust me. No, you need to trust the Lord. You need to go to the scriptures and study the things that I say. 2 Corinthians 11:1, Paul says, "Would to God you would bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy," and that's how the preacher should be. "For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ." That's, you are to be being prepared to be a chaste virgin for Christ, the bride, the church. The preacher's calling is to chase sin out of your lives by teaching you what it means to repent and turn from your sins and to live a godly life, to prepare you to live in the eternal presence of the Lord. That's what the preacher is called to do. He's called to point you to Christ. But then Paul says, "But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds would be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." A false preacher will do that. Corrupt your minds away from Christ. "For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, which we have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with them." What he means there is, you tolerate false teachers, and you shouldn't. If someone preaches another gospel, you shouldn't tolerate those things. False prophets existed then, and they are among us today. Turn to Jeremiah. I want to read a passage to you. This should really open up how times were then, and they're still like this today with false prophets. Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse 9. The prophet Jeremiah. Prophet said, "Mine heart within me is broken because of the prophets. All my bones shake. I am like a drunken man. I am like a man whom wine hath overcome because of the Lord and because of the words of his holiness. For the land is full of adulterers, for because of swearing the land mourneth. The pleasant places of the wilderness are dried up, and their course is evil, and their force is not right. For both prophet and priest are profane. Yea, in my house have I found their wickedness, saith the Lord. Wherefore their way shall be unto them as slippery ways in the darkness. They shall be driven on and fall therein. For I will bring evil upon them, even the year of their visitation, saith the Lord. And I have seen folly in the prophets of Samaria. They prophesied in Baal and caused my people to err. I have seen also in the prophets of Jerusalem an horrible thing. They commit adultery and walk in lies. They strengthen also the hands of evildoers, that none doth return or repent from his wickedness. They are all unto them, unto me, as Sodom, and the inhabitants thereof as Gomorrah. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts concerning the prophets, behold, I will feed them with wormwood and make them drink the water of gall. For the prophets of Jerusalem is, for from the prophets of Jerusalem is profaneness gone forth into the land." It's from the preachers. "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart and not out of the mouth of the Lord." Do you see that? "They say still unto them that despise me, the Lord has said, you shall have peace. And they say unto everyone that walketh after the imagination of his own heart, no evil shall come upon you. That's a lie. For who has stood in the counsel of the Lord and hath perceived and heard his word? Who hath marked his word and heard it? Behold, a whirlwind of the Lord is gone forth in fury, even a grievous whirlwind. It shall fall grievously upon the head of the wicked. The anger of the Lord shall not return until he have executed, till he have performed the thoughts of his heart. In the latter days, ye shall consider it perfectly. I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel and caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. Am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord? I have heard what the prophets said, that prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart. This exists today, folks, which think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal. The prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream. And he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? Is not my word like a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? Therefore, God says, behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words, every one from his neighbor. Behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that use their tongues and say, he saith, that is, God said this, when God did not say it. Behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them, and cause my people to err by their lies and by their lightness. Yet I sent them not, nor commanded them. Therefore, they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord. Quite a daunting passage of the scripture, isn't it? It describes the false prophet perfectly. So there will be false prophets among us. There are false prophets. That's why you need to be very careful before anyone is allowed to come up and stand before you. That is why I will not let anyone just come up and preach. We need to know what they believe. And I have had men once or twice want to come up and stand and preach, but they won't until I know them, that they're faithful preachers of the word of God. And so first, there will be false prophets among us. Secondly, what do they do? What is their work? Verse 1 says, they will privily or secretly or by stealth bring in or introduce into the assembly damnable heresies. Damnable heresies. They will do their work secretly under the guise of teaching the truth and by subtlety. The devil worked in subtlety in Genesis chapter 3, and that's the way he will continue to work. Again, this is why you must know what you believe from the Holy Scriptures. Listen, and don't forget this. If you believe everything that you hear, it's because you don't know what you believe. If you believe everything that you hear, it's because You don't know what you believe. You need to know what you believe. A damnable heresy, what is that? It's a gross error in one of the fundamental truths of the gospel. And that is why it's called damnable, because at the end of it is the ruin and damnation of your soul if you believe it. A damnable heresy will turn people away from the truth of the gospel of Christ. It diverts your mind away from Christ to whatever the error is. Titus 1:9, I'll read that to you. Titus 1, chapter 1 and verse 9 and 10. This is in the qualifications of a preacher, qualifications of a pastor. Same as 1 Timothy, but there's some differences here. And here's one of the things that Paul writes to Titus in verse 9. He says that the preacher, he should hold fast the faithful word. Holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convince the gainsayers, for there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses. Subvert means they undermine their faith, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. And so, brethren, we need to beware of damnable heresies. Further, a damnable heresy is a destructive doctrine called another gospel by the Apostle Paul. Galatians chapter 1. Paul calls it another gospel, and Paul pronounces a curse upon any who would preach another gospel. Galatians 1 and verse 6. Galatians 1, 6, Paul opens up the book of Galatians rebuking the people for being turned away from the gospel of Christ. He says in verse 6, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Another gospel is not the true gospel. He says, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. That's powerful words. As we said before, so now I say again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Powerful words. Here's some damnable heresies that exist in the church today. Jesus did not actually come in the flesh. That was the Gnostics. There is no resurrection from the dead. We know the Sadducees believe that. There is no literal hell. Do you know that there are people that profess to be Christians that believe there is no literal hell? Jesus did not manifest himself in the flesh. And therefore, Jesus was not God, rather manifest in the flesh. And therefore, Jesus is not God. There are those that believe Jesus is not God. He's the Son of God, but not God. No, Jesus is God. They deny the divinity of Christ. Many deny the virgin birth. They say it did not happen. The Trinity is denied, and the return of Christ. Many deny the lordship of Christ. They preach a Savior, but not a Lord. Listen, if Jesus is not your Lord, he's not your Savior. You can't just get a ticket to heaven without worshiping the King and obeying him. Jesus is Lord and Savior. And then as it applies to our salvation, you must do your own part in earning your salvation and supplement your faith in Christ. It's a lie. We need to be wary of these things. Paul says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. In other words, their ears itch for something pleasing or gratifying. People just want to go to church so that the preacher will make them feel good about themselves. You need to hear God's word. You need to hear the truth of God's word. Often we need to be rebuked. We need to have our sin brought to the surface so we can repent of our sin. And the Bible says of these false teachers, they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. That's 2 Timothy 4. That's why it's so important for you, again, to know what you believe from the word of God. These false teachers even deny the Lord that bought them. Here's where the difficulty comes in. Remember that these false teachers will arise among us and they will join themselves within our ranks. They will walk shoulder to shoulder with us in the church. And worst of all is when they become teachers. That's the worst of all. Remember, of your own selves shall men arise. So I have need to give diligence to the truth of the word of God and to make sure that I am not causing you to err, that I am not preaching error, that I am not pointing you away from Christ, but to Christ. That's a heavy burden that I do consider often. False teachers profess faith in Christ just like we do. They profess to be redeemed by the blood of Christ just like we do, bought by the Master even as we are bought by Christ, redeemed. But in the works, in their works and in their lives and in their infectious heresies, they deny the lordship of Christ over them. Titus 1:15, look there. In Titus 1:15, Paul wrote to Titus, he said, unto the pure, all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. But even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient and unto every good work reprobate. And then 2 Timothy 3:5 says of these men, they have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. So these false teachers, they deny the Lord in that they refuse his lordship. This was prevalent among the people of Israel after God delivered them from Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Yes, they were all of Israel, but not all the people that came out of Egypt were believers. Deuteronomy 32, turn back there. I'll show you this language. Deuteronomy 32, as we wind down here. Deuteronomy 32 and verse 4. Deuteronomy verse 32, chapter 32, verse 3, start there. Scripture says, behold, I will publish the name of the Lord. Ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He is the rock. His work is perfect. For all his ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. They, the people, have corrupted themselves. Their spot is not the spot of his children. They are a perverse and crooked generation. Do ye thus requite the Lord, O foolish people and unwise? Is not he thy father that hath bought thee? Hath he not made thee and established thee? And so there is a sense in which when every person came out of Egypt, they were redeemed from the house of bondage. God took them out. But not all of them were believers. And we know that from what we read in the psalm this morning. So as it was in the Exodus, These false teachers are among the redeemed people of God. They will enter in among us and secretly introduce false doctrines that are designed to undermine the atonement and work of Christ and our faith in Christ. They themselves profess faith in Christ, and they themselves profess to be bought with a price. Just like you and me. But their objective, again, is to undermine the doctrine and authority of Christ, and so they deny him as Lord and Master. It is in this sense that they deny the Lord that bought them, because they will not submit to the authority of Christ by whom they profess to be bought. They deny the authority of Christ. It seems here in 2 Peter that Peter was referring to the children of Israel and the false prophets of that time. God had redeemed them and bought them and freed them out of Egypt from the house of bondage. But even in the midst of the thousands who were freed and redeemed from God, by God from Egypt, false teachers arose among the people and denied the Lord who had bought them and redeemed them. False teachers will speak evil of the way of truth, and they will have many followers. To close out our verse, back to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 2. Peter says, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and they will bring upon themselves and upon all who hear them swift destruction." We'll start next time where the scriptures teach us many will follow their pernicious ways. It shows you how deceiving sin is in the world and how dark the soul and the hearts of sinners are. They don't want to hear the truth. But brethren, we have the truth of the gospel. And if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the minds of those that are deceived, God hath, misquoting it here, let me go back to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 is where I'm trying to quote. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not by false prophets, keeps you blind. That's what the devil wants to do. He wants to keep sinners blind. He wants to keep the truth from them, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Paul says, "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." If Jesus is not your Lord, he's not your Savior. Brethren, a false teacher wants you to profess faith in Christ, but they don't want you to follow Christ. They want you to be turned aside unto things that will point you away from Christ, and they want you to err. They are the devil's emissaries. They are the devil's agents. There were false preachers from the beginning of time all throughout the Old Testament. We read about it in Jeremiah, and there'll be false preachers and teachers even among us. Brethren, let us know what we believe from the truth of God's word. 2 Timothy says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Brethren, there's a right way to divide the word of truth and a wrong way. This is of great importance to every one of your souls. And I pray that you take heed and consider this day. Remember, this is the day that the Lord hath made. So use this day to redeem the time. Use this day to meditate upon these things. And may the Lord bless this to your hearts and souls. All right, well, we look forward to being over.